Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
The dream run continues. The Gonzaga Bulldogs stay undefeated and go to the Sweet 16 for the sixth straight year. The Zags beat Oklahoma 87-71, 28-0.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
I literally think they could handle anything. Shipwrecked on a deserted island, and they'd figure it out.
Who's going to beat this Gonzaga team?
The Michigan Wolverines. Michigan wins it to advance to the Sweet 16. The Wolverines over LSU, 86-78. They will continue in the 2021 NCAA tournament.
I said that it is what it is, man. I got a plan to be rich.
KJZ, Barton Hunt in with J. Will. ESPN Radio.
See, when I hear Jack Harlow, I think about Alan Hunt. Like, I put them, you don't even know who Jack Harlow is, do you?
I'm trying to figure out why you would bring me into that.
Google, well, because that means swag, right?
Google,
like,
Google it.
Yeah.
Wait.
That was a compliment.
He's going MC Mayo with me.
No, I didn't call it.
Are you trying to repair the damage?
I went the opposite way. I didn't call you MC Mayo.
I'm in the midst of trying to like smoke somebody on Twitter, and he's going, MC Mayo. Like,
let me see your tough
face.
That's
cold-blooded, man.
That's like first round, I'm coming out of the corner, and the trainer's like, hey, don't get hit in the face. Seriously? Like I'm supposed to now get into the fight? Trouble. Definitely trouble. So now that we're out of the first two rounds of the tournament, we just start assessing now what we saw, assessing, as you say, the success, but also assess the damage of what you saw as well. The Big Ten had, is it nine teams, right? Nine teams?
Nine teams in the tournament.
How many are left, Jay?
Uno.
Big Blue.
One.
That's all we need, baby.
One. Can I go off for a second?
I want you to go off because that's what I'm setting you up. There's one team left in the Big Ten. Everybody was talking about this is the year of the Big Ten. The Big Ten is the best basketball conference this year. How many times have I heard that? Big Ten, toughest conference in the nation. Are they?
Big Ten has not won a championship
in
since the year 2000. Since the year 2000. That's when Michigan State won it, right? That was the team with Mateen, Cleaves,
H to the Izzo, Flistone.
Yeah, they beat Florida, Teddy DuPay. The reason why I know, because Florida beat us going to Sweet 16 at Syracuse. Not that I remember that every single detail, actually. But that was the last time the Big Ten won it. The last time they won it before that was 1989. So you're telling me since 1990, the Big Ten has won a national championship one time. How many times since 1990 do you think the ACC has won a national championship?
I'm sure you know.
Random number.
11.
That's more than I thought.
The Big East, which has gone through breaking up, a lot of different teams coming and reforming, all these different things. 7. The SEC. 6. The Big Ten. The baddest conference there is. After the second weekend, one team left. One, and I'm not saying that the Big Ten didn't warrant being a good conference throughout the year, but it still
you're saying they're more in reputation than actual.
It feels like that.
Yeah. I mean,
it feels like that.
Overrated? Overrated.
You can say that. I'm not going to say they're overrated, but it feels like it trends in that direction.
Well, we talked about how different teams were underrated.
Well, I mean, Loyola Chicago, yeah.
Right, underrated, yeah. And were some of these Big Ten teams overrated? It's funny that you know, we are kicking around this criticism of the Big Ten. Jay Billis, who we talked to, yesterday. The days just run together. He was on with Spain and Fitz and had this response to all that Big Ten slander.
And I have a hard time believing that the Big Ten could dominate all the metrics like they did. So on one hand, we're going to say, well, Loyola's metrics are unbelievable. Look at all the analytics, and they were underseeded. And then we're going to take those same metrics and say, but they were all phony with the Big Ten. You know, and the Big Ten did win games. You know, you had Wisconsin winning and beating North Carolina. Maryland won a game and all that stuff. So the teams in the middle of the conference have performed fairly well to their seed, but to have Ohio State, you know, get beat by Oral Roberts, you know, same thing with Iowa losing that badly to Oregon, you know, they weren't good teams or they weren't, it wasn't a good league. I don't buy that. They just underperformed.
This is what I'm trying to tell people. All this stuff that you listen to throughout the course of the regular season, oh, they're the best conference, they're going to get that doesn't matter. None of that matters. March Madness is always about matchups. Yep. It's about matchups. That's why when people ask, well, are they the favorite this year? I'm like, I don't know. What region will they be in? Who else will be in their region? Because matchups mean something. Like that Ohio State or Roberts matchup. Like Max Asemus. I almost called him Amos. Look, I almost messed up the name. Max Asemus is a difficult matchup for them in the way they play.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's
– style makes fights.
It does, man. Mm-hmm. So like – but this also gets us back to our conversation about you see teams like Illinois. You see teams that, you know, like other number one seeds that you think are going to be so dominant. But since the product seems so watered down, it seems so diluted, yes, they are that team that seems like they're the big boss, but they're really not.
And how about what Cam Krutwig told us yesterday, I thought was a pretty telling, him saying that they played, right, Illinois.
Yeah.
And before the game, they had that feel like they weren't taking us serious.
Exactly.
Right? Like they weren't taking us serious, and we felt it. And by the time they realized they should, it was too late. And he was pretty open about it. Like, yeah, we felt that.
It always happens.
You know, and it was a great question that you asked, Bart. But that's, to me, again, that irrational, not confidence, but like just
the
feeling that you are superior.
The confidence and the arrogance because everybody's
because you're the Big Ten.
Everybody fluffed you up the entire year, right? So you're feeling well, like you're thinking that you're better than everybody because you're reading your press clippings and not understanding that March Madness is totally different, right? You don't know anything about this player. You don't know who's their good players. You don't know who's clutch. You don't know the nuance because they're not in your conference. So you haven't done a deep dive in the scouting report on these guys. So you think just simply because you're seeded higher than them that you're better than them. And that's not the case.
Or you're the bigger school.
Exactly. And it's all about matchups, and it's decided on the court. And, you know, look, I'm surprised that the Pac-12 is doing as well. Like, I mean, they're balling, right? You
know, 9-1.
Five teams.
Four still remaining.
Yeah, five teams maintained. Yeah, 4 out of 5.
It's crazy.
I mean, the USC is a sleeper. Oregon is really good, too. I mean, they are matched up together.
So we asked the question at the beginning of the show.
Oregon State, double-digit seed. 5 double-digit seeds.
Right, that's the thing to keep in mind, right, as you watch this now going forward. And with that in mind, with all the double-digit seeds and all these other top seeds going down, we asked the question, is this the year? Who are you taking, Gonzaga or the field? Mm. Frank said on Twitter, I'd love to see what they would do against Syracuse's zone. Let me think about that, Jay. Also,
be in a national championship game if they were to meet.
Fidan said, Gonzaga, a favorite, no doubt, but one bad day and you're gone. That's the tournament. You can't have a bad day. Chef Kev, who's always up early with us, Gonzaga, Oregon will cut the nets down. Man, I said Gonzaga, the field. Chef, pick one. And Rory says Alabama. You feeling Alabama? 2 seed.
Yo, Moses Moody. He was one of the names I gave you guys.
Too. Yes.
Nate Oates, very well-coached team. I mean, they are talented. They blitzed Maryland. I thought they would beat Maryland. They blitz Maryland. Yeah. Maryland didn't even have a chance.
Yeah, they did.
I just go back to that conversation that we had earlier about Gonzaga. As I was reading the tweets and we just discussed again this team and their opportunity right now. And it just fits in it because the Big Ten with all those teams, with the 9 teams, you thought odds are would one of them be the team. Yeah. And you're down to 1 now.
Moses Moody's on Arkansas. That's on me.
The bigger,
brain fart happened. Okay. Thanks, Evan, for correcting me.
The bigger, just jump in. The bigger of, to me, the bigger schools are the ones that you think might be built to beat a Gonzaga, don't you think? Like the Cinderella's, I don't know. Like
you said,
those
son,
are nice
it
stories.
It turns 12
but
o'clock
read,
eventually.
Thank you.
Eventually it turns 12.
We
Who's
always
the last
reach that
Cinderella
point?
That we ever had that won the actual championship that kind of finished the deal? Who's the last one?
Like, well, you'd have to define the Cinderella.
I feel like they're all coming back together. How would you define a Cinderella? Like a double-digit seed?
Yeah, like who's the low seed that came in and just caught fire and shocked the world, right? That doesn't really happen.
That
right?
has never because happened.
I don't think so. Butler came
they,
close.
They missed. Gordon Hayward had that half-court attempt that would have done it, and it didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, so that's to our point. You know, the analytics is going to tell us that it's going to have to be one of the big time. Yeah, it's going to have to be one of the big time schools. Yeah.
And that's essentially why I feel like if there's ever the year, this is the year for Gonzaga, and they can try to downplay it all they want. I don't care. You could try to make the idea, like you always said, you know, any team can get beat. Yeah, of course any team can get beat. Yeah. The idea is to not get beat in the moment. Like, this is the moment now. You play the whole season for this. This is the history that they are trying now to make, that it hasn't happened since 76. We know all the history and we understand it. But if it's ever going to happen – and the one thing that I thought when you look at the field and you see, okay, well, there's 9 Big Ten teams. There's a lot of big schools. There were a lot of talented players. eight of them are gone. Like, they're out. Okay, so the Pac-12 does have some good teams that we kind of sleep on because it's Pac-12, it's West Coast.
Yeah.
But if there's ever a time for the chalk to go the way it's supposed to go for Gonzaga, this is the time.
There's still I mean, look, I know we're going.
Give me who's
going to
beat them. Come on, Jay. Give me who's going to beat them.
Baylor could beat them. Baylor could beat them. Baylor's really good. Hey, Jared Butler, it's really good. We've had Scott Drew on this show multiple times. Yep. Like, they missed like 10 games due to postponement and COVID issues, six games straight one time. But they are really good, and they're fast, and they're in your face, and they defend. They throw a ton of different defenses at you. So Baylor's a team that could beat them. I think Alabama is a team that could beat them. I think,
but you're not seeing them to the Final Four. Like, that's all.
Yeah.
Like, you're giving me two seeds.
But you didn't ask me specifically. So you're just talking about in the West. Who can beat them in the West?
Yeah, what's going to stop them from – well, I guess you're right, because you still get to the Final Four. You still got to get to the championship.
I mean, the winner of USC Oregon, I mean, look, I think they'll get by Creighton. I think that'll be a tough game for them.
All right.
I think Creighton is really disciplined, too. But I think the winner of USC Oregon will be a really tough game. It's going to be a really tough game for them.
I'm watching closely now to see if this gets done. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Much more in this conversation after Jay has this from DraftKings.
UFC 260 is a can't-miss event, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code KJZ to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's code KJZ, only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
The 15 seed is among the final 16 remaining. They knocked out Ohio State in the first round and now have knocked off Florida.
The Westwood One NCAA Radio Network.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart Scott, Alan Hahn with J. Will. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, the number, as we were discussing the Big Ten and their lack of bigness.
What?
I mean, nine teams
phrasing
are in the tournament.
Phrasing. That needs to be our thing, Mark. Phrasing.
Phrasing.
But that's I mean,
they're not big and they don't have 10 teams, so like they're not even the Big Ten.
That's hilarious, right? Not big. Don't have 10
more like the overrated discuss. 14.
A lot of things to be angry about as it relates to the bigness of the Big Ten. Phrasing.
Not very bigly. But you know, like you have one team, they advance, that's
Mr.
fine.
Bigly.
But
they're huge, I promise.
But still, we also asked you, Gonzaga, or the field, what do you think? Tyler in Minnesota has a team that he believes can win it all. Tyler, who is it?
What's up, T?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Definitely I'm taking the field. I'm taking Syracuse and Buddy Boeheim, for sure. He's going to make a name for himself. And that zone defense.
He might Let's be. Go. Well, the zone defense already made a name for itself. It has been for the last 30 years, 40 years.
I mean, Jim Boeheim has been to the Sweet 16 20 times.
Amazing, right?
Just to let you know. I mean, it's pretty incredible what he's been able to accomplish throughout the course of his career.
The fact that he continues to be effective over the era, like, that's the thing, right? The fact that the zone continues to be effective no matter how basketball changes, it's like something that's a staple that you can count on.
You said something that got him going.
No, because this leads to a way bigger hoops conversation for me. Okay? Alan, you're an NBA guy.
Mm-hmm.
You call a lot of Knicks. Why do teams get so flabbergasted with zones?
Yeah.
Think about like when it's, well, I they agree. Went zone. You're like, well, like Miami, so? The Heat were playing zone in the playoffs last year. It was like, how do you figure out the zone? I'm like, it's a zone.
Because
what do you mean, figure out the zone?
Because
you hit the ball in the middle of the zone, you turn and you face, right. You look opposite somebody or you look at the rim. Like, it's not hard, but when you play against these zones, teams don't practice it. And a team like, granted, Syracuse's zone is not like a regular zone. It's more of a matchup, and it gives a lot of different looks and their size and their length, which is what Jim recruits to.
Yes.
He likes players who are taller, right. Who have great wingspans, take a shot, Jay yep. Billis, and who can cover a lot of territory very quickly. That's what makes them good. But still, like, people just get flabbergasted.
Isn't it like it makes you rely on the fundamentals of the game, right?
Which nobody right. practices
and,
right, anymore.
Exactly. It makes you have to be patient. It's not like it's like in between. You either want to shoot over it, but all the back cutting and all that stuff and shooting an 18-footer, like you don't practice those shots really, right? So like they get in and makes people uncomfortable.
Agree. Like in the world of AAU basketball, in the world where people are like, hey, let's speed up the game. Let's make it quicker.
Down.
Let's shoot a lot of threes. You know, like God forbid you give a ball fake.
Oh.
God
no, no. Triple hey, threat. No.
Ball fake. Oh, no. Just one time. There. Oh, let the zone shift.
Yeah.
There it is. Look opposite. Like, it's no. typically there if
it's,
you're patient.
It is funny how a game will go Curry. On. You will be just cruising in a game. Then all of a sudden, it's like, uh-oh, they're coming out in a zone.
Oh, no, the zone.
What do you do?
What do you? Now we like have to pass just, the ball six times.
I don't know what to do.
I hate this offense. It's not going to work.
Like, it literally, like it's as if the whole game just changed. They like, changed all the rules. You can't just stay in one spot. You got
to
move.
You see all these NBA conversations where you talk to coaches. Coaches are like, man, I don't know, man. They really they threw a monkey wrench at us. They threw a zone. They threw a 3-2 matchup right. zone. We haven't seen that in a long time. I'm like, you're an NBA coach. You're an NBA. You get paid $7 million a year. Go up and play for a zone.
It's great. You know, you don't see like, a zone that in. Often.
You're a big time college coach. You get paid $7 million a year.
Easy, man.
Drop a play for a zone.
Now, you ever like, because like we deal with this, like whenever we go against teams that run like triple threat options or something like that, or like when a Wildcat came, you ever been playing a team and they go to zone to you, like, play me like a man. Go give me one on one.
You start yelling at him.
Go play me like a man.
You play me like, you guard me one on one.
Quit trying to trick me.
Or you start losing, like, see, yeah, I know y'all can only beat us playing zone.
That zone.
Yeah.
Me and you.
Y'all can't guard us man to man. You can't guard me.
You come get me. You and me. Like, nope, I got my buddy behind you.
Nope.
So true.
But I got my buddy behind me, and I got buddy on the court knocking down threes.
Well, there
yes.
you go.
Syracuse could – yes. I mean, look at that region. So, I mean, you're talking about Loyola Chicago, Oregon State, and then you have Syracuse playing against Houston. Houston should have lost to Rutgers.
Yeah, Rutgers gave that game
away. Rutgers gave
man.
That game away. So if you're Syracuse,
Big 14,
you're
man.
Like, hold on a second. We watch tape. We understand who Houston is. We play the zone, like, and you know as these games get to bigger and bigger stadiums, I'll tell you too what helps the zone. I'll tell you the first time we played in Minneapolis in the Final Four, I went up to shoot my first three playing in dome, and I swear I could not find the damn basket. Middle of my shot, I'm up, and I'm like, where the hell is the rim?
What is going on? I've always wondered that, but you know what? And I've talked to Wally Szczerbiak about this. You know, Wally Ball, obviously, he had himself a run in the tournament all those years ago as well for Miami of Ohio, a mid-major. But and he talked about it too. When you're in those big cavernous stadiums that we play the Final Four in all the time, it's like the shooting percentages have to go down. Like there has to be an issue with shooting. And then we looked up the numbers. There really isn't a big difference.
But it feels.
But it has to.
I don't
feel,
care. It feels
Jay,
so
it has
different.
To.
And I advantage to Syracuse. They play in the dome.
They play in the Carry Dome. Yeah.
They play in the dome. I mean, that's where we lost to Florida. You know, my freshman year before they got to the championship game against Michigan State. But I'm just telling you, the depth perception, when you're in a regular gym, the backdrop is so dark.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like,
it illuminates the rim.
Yeah, it illuminates. So you see the rim and you feel it. But when you get into a dome, I mean, you're looking about, like, it feels like 300 yards past
too,
the
right?
basket. Yeah. And it goes up and it just goes back and back. So you can't. Waves
yeah,
that
the rim
distance.
Is this,
that,
it's this
so
thick.
Awkward.
Am I tripping? But for me, whenever I played in a dome, it's like you can't breathe as well as two. You know what I mean? For me, it was like the air in there is different.
Thickness
as well.
About it, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like playing the altitude.
And it's louder, just the echoing of the dome. It just like
it's the constant
buzz in your ear. Think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're throwing up hand signals and things of that sort. It's just different.
Yeah. Way to take them behind the curtain, Jay. That's what I'm talking about.
No, that is interesting.
Next
they
level.
Play a zone. It's a game
but
changer.
But how about like the story of Buddy Boeheim, though? I mean, this is a cool story. He's a junior. Coaches, we talked about this a little bit, but the coach's son is normally on the team because he's the coach's son.
Exactly.
Right? And he's dispelling all of that. The way he's played this year, he's in his third season. He put 30 on San Diego State in the first round. He put 25 on West Virginia in the second round. Guy can shoot the three. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure he understands the zone at this point, right? And he's playing for his dad, which he's a star playing for his dad. That can't be easy either, right? That has to have some pressure on you as well. He was on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, and he talked about the pressure of playing for his dad and Coach Boeheim.
I'd say it was definitely an up and down process. I say my junior year playing in the UIBL circuit, I really blew up and had a great summer. And that's when coaches really started saying, you know, you need to go to Syracuse. Your dad, and tell my dad that he needs to take me and have him come play for him. And that meant everything to me, just getting that recognition and getting that credibility. And that kind of took off for me. And then coming in the freshman year, it was definitely a culture shock, just being on the court, playing in front of 30,000. And there were times where I definitely lost my confidence, just, you know, because you're playing for your dad. And then everyone's saying, oh, he's only here because his dad. And if I missed a couple shots one game, that's what they would say. And if we were struggling as a team, they would, you know, put it on me, put it on my dad. So that was tough. But just always continuing to work hard. And I think these last 2 years, I've really grown up and just have continued to work. And it's paid off.
It's paid off, no doubt. He's averaging 18 a game, shooting 40% from three, 39.6 on the season. So
6'6", by ball. The way.
And 6'6".
Yeah. Like, not a small guy. A
little Duncan Robinson? Yeah. Like, a little.
I mean, look, there's always room on an NBA roster for dudes that can shoot that thing. You know that.
I don't need shooters. I need makers. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what I need.
Shot makers.
Yes.
That's a tough thing to do for anybody in here that ever has attempted to coach their kid. That is a tough thing to do. That is a tightrope to walk, man, because I can't coach my son. Like, I can't even train my son, right? Like, and it's weird because I have to train my friends' kids, and my friends got to train my kids because they won't listen because they take everything emotionally and they internalize because they see me as their dad, and I can't get on them. They take it personally. So, I mean, you know,
he's able to differentiate. One of the things he did talk about was that if sometimes he's dad, like when we win a game in the tournament and we're hugging, and it's like, this is what it's all about. Yeah. And then if I miss an assignment and he's barking at me, I'm like, man, I coach.
Or coach come into practice, you had a tough day, he's like, hey, coach.
Yeah,
but you know, it's always it's interesting just the hate you get. I know we're gonna get to callers, Alan, but you know, when you hear people online like, oh, your name's Buddy and blah blah, I'm like, y'all forgot it. Like, y'all remember Buddy Hield? He used to get buckets too. His name was Buddy.
Pretty damn.
Like, what's the difference? Like,
what's the new nickname for you? Buddy Buckets, right?
Buddy Buckets. Did you just make that up on the fly?
No, Alan did yesterday. On the other show that we do, we work like 10 shows, so don't worry about it.
I didn't make that up, but okay, I'll take credit for it.
Come on, man, take this.
He's trying to make up for that. That MC Mayo,
MC Mayo thing. It's going to stick with you, though. I feel like you should just own it, though.
That set me back. Right, just so you guys
just have
know,
a big thing of mayonnaise like, right next to you.
I need to talk to the people and stop talking to these two now. Tony in Baltimore, save me. Tony. Tony, what's up, man? Who do you got, Gonzaga or the field?
Good morning, fellas. First of all, Bob, I have to say hi. I used to hung with you up in Mondawmin here in Baltimore.
Oh, what's up? No doubt. What up, Holmes?
And I hung with you about hoodie.
What'd you say about my mama?
None
I thought he said your mama too. He was breaking up. I said, he talking about Bart's mama?
No, he did. I think this is my guy. I think this is my guy from Baltimore.
He used to hang with outside the gate.
Yeah, no doubt.
I want to say with this tournament, Florida State, Syracuse, Villanova, and Creighton. Do y'all guys realize the last 7 years it's gone back and forth between an ACC school and a Big East school, and this past decade they won 9 out of 10 of the national championships, with the only exception being the one Kentucky won. That's complete dominance by those two.
That is, but that wasn't. And again, thank you, Tony. That's not what everybody was talking about going into the tournament, though. This was the year of the Big Ten. That's why we brought it up. It wasn't. It's not necessarily about, you know, other conferences. It was that this year, the Big Ten was supposed to be the big bad Big Ten. And they're not so big.
I mean, wow. But I mean, you think about it. I mean, 2019, Virginia. 2018, Villanova. Mm-hmm. 2017, UNC. 16, Villanova. 15, Duke. 14, Connecticut. 13, Louisville. And then 2012, Kentucky. But before that, 11, Connecticut. 10, Duke. 9, North Carolina. Wow.
Pattern. No doubt.
Wow.
Pattern. Jason in Iowa. Who do you got, Jason? Gonzaga or the field?
I like Gonzaga, but I also like, if Michigan can get past Florida State, I like them too. But I would say Gonzaga is going to go undefeated.
Big man, you like Michigan, even though they don't have Isaiah Livers. Do you still think Michigan can beat them? Why?
I still do. Yes.
Why?
just because I think they're so built and they're so big. I don't think anybody can really I'm on the TV right now. I just think that they can I just think they can get by anybody with the depth that they have.
All right. I mean, look, I think Michigan is a very talented team. That game against LSU, I mean, that was a close game. I watched that whole thing. I mean, they pulled away that thing in OT. I think they can beat Florida State. Florida State, though, they can defend. They can
always can
in their discipline.
Leonard Hamilton, right? Always can.
That's gonna be a tough game.
Did you see him on the sideline in the? He's got that air cast. Achilles snapped, and he's walking around just like he told us he would. I'm not sitting down. No. I'm fine. And he stands there on the court. And it's funny, when you see him turn, he does like that pivot in the boot.
Spin on the hill.
Have you ever seen Leonard Hamilton coach at practice? Like, he doesn't do a lot of yelling. He does a lot of... Like, he does a finger point.
Like your mom.
And
like
you're like,
mom,
oh, my God. Like what did I do?
Like your mom in the choir.
All right. Is Russell Wilson about to get... By the way, we'll keep the calls rolling, so stay with us. I love the conversation here, but is Russell Wilson about to get the weapon he's wanted for years? We'll talk about that after SportsCenter.
The dream run continues. The Gonzaga Bulldogs stay undefeated and go to the Sweet 16 for the sixth straight year. The Zags beat Oklahoma 87-71.
Courtesy of Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network. Yes, Gonzaga, Michigan, both dancing on to the Sweet 16. Gonzaga remains the betting favorite, according to Caesar Sportsbook by William Hill. In the NFL, the Giants land cornerback Adoree Jackson a three-year, $39 million deal. That's according to our Adam Schefter. Jackson started 41 of 46 games with the Titans, but then a knee injury just before the start of last season limited him to three games in 2020. There are six more lawsuits filed against Deshaun Watson, including one alleging sexual assault in March 2021. Yeah, that'd be this month. The attorney representing the women, Tony Busby, has filed 13 lawsuits against Watson since last week. Busby told Fox 26 in Houston on Monday night that he filed a 14th lawsuit. It did not appear on the Harris County District Court website Monday night. SportsCenter, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Spend your tax return wisely. With Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense. Tune into Straight Talk.
The Seahawks want to replace Russell Wilson with one of the quarterbacks in this year's draft. They want to restart the rookie salary cap clock on their quarterback.
I very much think, based on what Russell Wilson has said and what Seattle hasn't said, that a trade is still in the mix.
I'm told that the Bears still are paying attention to Russell Wilson and have not abandoned hopes.
KJZ, Barton Hahn with Jay Will, ESPN Radio. Dan Graziano joins us right now, our ESPN NFL insider. He joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan, so let me ask you about what John Clayton said in Pittsburgh on 93.7 The Fan, saying that Russell Wilson lobbying for Antonio Brown to go to the Seahawks. How far do you think that goes in repairing what has been a damaged relationship between the front office, the franchise, and Russ, if they were able to, if they were going to listen to him and take his advice and go ahead and sign AB?
Well, I'm sure it would be helpful, but you got to remember, they went through this last year. They dabbled in the Antonio Brown situation last year, and Russell Wilson was a big advocate for signing him then. They weren't able to do it. He ends up in Tampa Bay with his buddy Tom Brady, and they win the Super Bowl. It could certainly end like that again. The Seahawks actually looked into Antonio Brown two off seasons ago after the Raiders released him. Remember when he was a Raider, guys? Remember that off season where he spent with the Raiders trying to find the right helmet and all that kind of stuff? So the Seahawks looked into it then, but the Patriots signed him for more than the Seahawks were willing to go. So they've kind of been monitoring this player for a while, and I don't think it would surprise anybody if he ended up in Seattle, but they have shown there's a point they're willing to go to and not beyond in order to get him. And if Tampa Bay is motivated to bring him back or somebody else wants to spend more, then I don't think Seattle's going to stretch just because Russell Wilson likes him. Somebody's got to tell me what's wrong with having Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf as your wide receivers. I mean, I know you always want more, but, you know, I don't think wide receiver is the Seahawks' biggest problem.
But, you know, Dan, isn't that equivalent to putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound? Like, it's so many more holes in this
yes.
team. And when you look at this roster in Seattle, you look at the roster in Seattle, would you say that they're the worst roster in the division now? Or the least talented? I'm sorry.
I mean, you could probably make that case, but I think you have to put it in context. This is a really strong-looking division, right? I mean, I could see anyone finishing first in that division, including Seattle, especially, I mean, if they keep Russell Wilson, obviously that's the key. If they don't, then yes, you would definitely put them at the back of the pack. He makes up for a lot of other issues. But look, I mean, they Seattle's all about the churn, the development of the draft and development process, right? Yes, they lose the cornerback Griffin, but they feel like they have people in the pipeline that can replace him. You know, they bring back pretty much the same offensive line, except they trade for Gabe Jackson to replace the guard who retired, Ayupati. So yeah, they feel like they regenerate there, and they always seem to be a little better than we think they're going to be. You know, a couple years ago, it was the whole Seahawks rebuilding situation. They end up with a 10-win season and make the playoffs. So they view themselves a lot differently than I think people on the outside do in terms of their ability to keep that roster competitive year in and year out. And they really have succeeded.
Another quiet story on that roster is Jamal Adams and his desire to be paid, you know, as the highest safety in the league. Where are we at with that?
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of progress there. I mean, each side knows where the other stands. Obviously, the past week has been about the free agency process and trying to, you know, re-sign some of your guys who are going to be free agents like they did with Chris Carson and maybe bring in people from outside the organization. So extensions are kind of pushed to the back burner a little bit at this time of year, unless it's a situation like we saw with Leonard Williams with the Giants or Justin Simmons in Denver, where they had a franchise player they wanted to extend to knock the cap number down. So I think they'll get to work on Jamal Adams. And if you look at the Seahawks' history of their extensions, they tend to happen later in the summer in training camp close to the start of the season. Obviously, what they gave up to get him in the trade with the Jets sort of requires them to extend him and keep him around long term. So I think they'll get it done at some point, but I don't think it's a front burner issue for them at the present time.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests joining us here in the Goodyear Hotline. Dan Graziano, NFL insider. Dan, 6 more allegations came out about Deshaun Watson. What else are you hearing about him, about how teams are deeming him throughout the course of the league?
Look, I mean, this is a situation where obviously everyone is paying close attention and taking it very seriously. The league is investigating. There are teams, obviously, that have been very, very interested in pursuing Deshaun Watson in a trade, assuming Houston ever made him available. And at this point, you know, those teams, they still have interest, assuming that things sort of get better in this situation that's surrounding him. But they're getting worse. And the allegations are very, very serious. And I think, you know, it's almost frivolous to talk about football in light of what's being talked about in these lawsuits that have been filed against him. Obviously, he has denied everything. And if it turns out that he's right, then, you know, things pick up and go on as normal. But you got to remember, we're 5.5 weeks before the draft. If you're a team that's looking at trading for Deshaun Watson and you want to do it before the draft, it's hard to imagine getting any kind of clarity on this situation within the next 5.5 weeks. So the answer to what I think your question is, I think teams that were considering pursuing Deshaun Watson have to take a step back right now and get some more answers about the very real stuff that's going on around him before making a football decision on whether to continue to pursue him.
Yeah, Dan, there's no doubt that as each headline comes out each day, it becomes more and more jarring, no doubt about it. Dan, thanks so much for the time. Great to talk to you as always.
Thanks, Dan.
Pleasure, guys.
All right, you can get more from Dan on Get Up at 8 o'clock Eastern. But, Jay, it's clearly, with Deshaun Watson in this situation, it is clearly something now that does get your attention. I think the whole league now looking at this and even just waiting to see what the end result is going to be.
I am with this. I think you always have to choose your words very wisely when you speak about subject matter like this.
Oh, yeah.
I do not know if Deshaun Watson is guilty or not guilty. But it does feel like what happens in our society is that you are no longer innocent until proven guilty. You are guilty until proven innocent. And once again, I don't know all the details. There's still a lot more due diligence to be done, and we have to find out a lot more facts about what occurred. But this is extremely damaging to Deshaun Watson's, his whole
image.
It's damaging for a guy that seemed his crispy brand. Clean yep. before this.
Seemed, right.
Seemed. That's why I That's chose why my the words carefully.
Are
seemed.
Jarring. Right.
Crispy clean before this. Boom. Like, it's a completely different narrative now.
And that's why, again, the NFL, Roger Goodell, have to monitor this very closely, have to make sure they do their own investigation and keep an eye on as the headlines continue. And as I said, each day we get the headline, each day it becomes more and more jarring, no doubt about that. As we get one day closer to the NBA trade deadline, one team got their first win in over a month. So will they deal either of their two stars? That's after Jay has this from Indeed.
When you own a business, you're the owner of everything. I mean everything. Sales, finance, customer service. Bart is smiling. I mean, he gets it. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, Indeed is uniquely qualified to help you really own hiring. When you sponsor a job post, Indeed instantly matches searches through the millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates whose resumes fit your job description immediately. Then you can invite them to apply to your job right away. Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
With the Laker injuries and the uncertainty about where they're going to be by the beginning of the playoffs, is there a team in the West or maybe even a contender anywhere, West or East, that might have a little more urgency now to make a deal that they might not have wanted to make or might not have wanted to get involved in at the deadline because they see perhaps opportunity to strike this year?
It's that the Lakers are maybe a little more vulnerable than the team they brought into the playoffs last season. Certainly up front, it was really difficult to get to the rim last year against LA, not so much this year in their front court. But I think the expectation is by the time they get to the playoffs, LeBron James and Anthony Davis should be healthy, and both are going to sit here until they're not. But all of a sudden, think of your reward if you are the Jazz, if you're the Suns. Hey, we got the 1 or 2 seed in the West, and oh, here are the Lakers in the first round. That's not exactly why you wanted to earn the privilege of being at the top of the conference. But I do think there's I think especially in the West, teams, I think Denver is a team that's, you look at Jeremy Grant and losing him to Detroit in free agency. They have felt the impact of that, certainly. And I think Denver's a team that would certainly like to improve. They, I think they've seen, they look at a Jazz team now that maybe jumped them in the Western Conference. You know, Phoenix, I think, is a team, you know, that surprised everybody. Monty Williams, certainly a coach of the year candidate there. And I think the Clippers still, they've got to get better. And I think they still need some more guard play. And I think they're out in the market monitoring that. And you may see teams may not do it by the trade deadline. I think you're going to see a lot of quality players in the buyout market. And then that's going to have for a lot of teams some urgency, you know, to add a player there where you could add a player, obviously, without having to give anything up.
I really wish the Clippers would go for a guy like Kyle Lowry. I think he would make such a difference on their team. Yeah. I think chances are I'll probably end up in Miami before L.A. But, Woj, you're always my barometer for whether I'm crazy or not on NBA Countdown. And this morning I talked about the fact for LeBron being out for a little while, who knows what's happening with AD. Could we potentially see a scenario in which the Lakers are in the play-in tournament? Is that feasible to think? Is it realistic?
It's not inconceivable. I mean, listen, in the West, you can lose. Listen, these games come right on top of each other in this shortened season and in the second half. It's not inconceivable, but I think, you know, depending on how long, you know, LeBron's out, I think AD's certainly going to be back sooner. If you just have one of those players on the court on a given night, you know, you could certainly beat anybody. This is a team right now that can lose to anybody without them. But it is a concern for this Laker team. And listen, but at the same time, I do know this, and I know the Lakers believe this. As long as they have their healthy team, they can go win on the road in the postseason. Mm-hmm. There's no one they're going to be afraid of. And they're certainly, this is still a championship battle team. And when you have AD and LeBron back, you know, having them healthy for a playoff run is much more important than playoff seeding. I don't know that they could fall all the way out of it, but by the time, you know, as when we get to the end of the year, could they be in that 6th, 7th, 8th spot? Yes, of course they could be.
Well, just pop the champagne. The Rockets won a game. Give it up, give it up. They snapped the 20-game losing streak. But in all seriousness, can we see one of their two stars potentially on the move? Oladipo. I know the asking price was high earlier on, or maybe John Wall on the move.
Yeah, John Wall's contract and the injuries, that's not really conceivable. There's no real value on the market with the money owed him and where he is right now. But Victor Oladipo, that's going to be really the interesting one to hear watch between now and Thursday. He is very much available. The question is, how much can they get back for Oladipo? And his market value, again, given injury, given his availability to play, how efficient he's been. And then if I'm trading for him, what do I want to pay him? Listen, there are teams out there who would trade for him as a rental. And that's not the kind of return Houston wants on a, you know, the guy who is the centerpiece of the Harden trade, certainly outside of the picks they gathered. But I think Oladipo is very much available. The question really is, can Houston get back, you know, a representative offer? Because if they don't, they may just hold on to him for the rest of the season and look at maybe sign and trade options when the year's out, when he has shown that he can be consistently healthy and play at a high level, because he's not really been able to show that, or hasn't shown that yet this season in Houston.
There's been a lot of eyes on Oladipo this season just to see how he's responding from the injury. In Boston, Danny Ainge has collected a lot of draft picks, a lot of assets, and they have a team that you would argue, but looking at their record, is underachieved. They've had a lot of injuries, obviously. Is Danny Ainge going to be active at the trade deadline?
Well, you know, history shows the Celtics will make a lot of phone calls. They'll get involved with a lot of different players and ultimately not do very many deals. But I do think there's a different urgency. You know, they are involved in the Aaron Gordon talks. There's a number of teams with Orlando. I think there's two teams, you know, really are going to set the tone of trade deadline. I think that's Orlando, and I think that's Toronto, and certainly, but Boston, you know, we'll see. I think Orlando is really, they're going to take in bids. They're going to take in offers on Aaron Gordon. I do think this is the end. This is the end for Aaron Gordon in Orlando. I think they're ready to move on from him. I think he's ready to move on. Boston's in that mix.
Woj, always a must follow. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Woj.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Gonzaga. His words, bones are the best. Yeah. He always. Gonzaga or the field. Who you taking? That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, ESPN app.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.